from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And always be on TNT because of what Dr. King meant to each of those cities respectively. So, I the matchup is fun because you got Anthony Edwards, John Morant, you got the rematch of the playoffs a couple years ago, kind of a budding little rivalry between playoff teams, and you know, Minnesota was so good last year. I think that'll be a fun day.
9 national TV games. According to Rob, we had 13 last year. I kind of was under the impression, and I don't know, you maybe could speak to this better. I just get the sense the NBA is going to be a little bit more cautious by dumping out every national game early. I feel like they want a little bit more flexibility. I would be surprised if they end up with 9 national TV games, if they're as good as I think they're going to be.
Well, if they're good, they will get flexed into at least 1 or 2 more, I would say. If they're a playoff team, which we all hope that they will, they have the talent to be that if they stay healthy and they come together. You get flexed in. Because remember, last year the Grizzlies were taken off.
Yeah, flexed out.
Of national. Flexed out like 3 or 4 times. I get for our TV guys, when they're ones that you can do, if they're not doing a game, they're not getting paid. So they prefer to not always be on TNT. But yeah, you could have a team fall off, somebody get hurt. A superstar that somebody's going to lose a star player for the season and could dramatically affect their projections, and that would change it for sure. So you don't wish that on anybody, having gone through what the Grizzlies went through last year. But yeah, it's a lower number, I think, than people would like. And Rob, as I just heard from him on the Grind City Media thing, was calling it the Remind Me Tour this year.
Yeah,
remind me of who you are. And the Grizzlies are trying to remind the world that they were a high-caliber Western Conference power that finished in second place in the West 2 straight years and, you know, lost a heartbreaking series to Golden State because their star player was unavailable for certain games and very easily could have advanced, and probably if they advanced to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. Because remember, that year, the Grizzlies and Warriors were battling for that 2 spot. In fact, at one point, the Warriors were battling the Nuggets for the 1 spot and kind of fell off. And then Steph got banged up and other guys got banged up. And they went through a stretch where the Grizzlies overtook them and never looked back. So it wasn't like the Warriors healthy were truly a team that was behind the Grizzlies. It was a great matchup. It all came down to one home game being lost and the Grizzlies not finishing out a home game in San Francisco. They're going to have, I just don't want this to become a chip on the shoulder is the only story that we talk about. They feel slighted. Like, just go be you. Go be the Grizzlies that you can be. Get to know your new assistant coaching staff. Get to know your rookie. Find out what the rotation is going to be. Roll with it as consistently as you possibly can. And then go out and just be better than other teams, because they will be better But that doesn't always equate to a surefire win because it's the NBA and pros rise up and play good team stuff.
Yeah, I was taking a look. I think 7 of the first 11 are against teams that weren't playoff teams last year. I mean, we can do this all we want because, like you said, you would have looked at Washington on paper last year. I'm like, okay, good. That's a win. Well, it wasn't because of other circumstances. It does seem to me that it'd be nice for this team to get off to a good start.
Yes, very. And you have a Chicago team that you face very early on in Brooklyn twice, I believe. You face both of them.
Yeah.
Very early in twice, and those are games you expect to win. Chicago is kind of looking like they're in rebuild mode. They've got DeMar DeRozan's not walking through that door, and that was a big factor for them. So it's tough to play there anytime because their crowds are good, but Brooklyn is 100% in rebuild mode. We all know that. So, you've got to handle your business against teams like that. The NBA Cup, is it Emirates or Emeritus?
The Emirates NBA Cup.
Emirates. That's a tough bracket.
Yes.
A tough bracket. And I think we're all waiting to see what the Warriors look like without Klay Thompson, you know, in the locker room. Not just because he missed time, obviously, with injuries. Without him in the building, he was a leader. But Steph obviously showed he's capable. Where is Draymond's game another year into his career? What do they have to build on? Well, Jonathan Kuminga, if they're not a higher-level team, you've got to win that game on the road, and you've got to try to grab another one against Dallas or New Orleans, and then hopefully you play your best basketball in the second game of the two-game Denver being in Memphis set where maybe they're ready to just get out of here, they're ready to go, and don't look at the Emirates Cup as a big deciding factor in what determines their season, and maybe the Grizzlies catch them. And maybe you do go 3-1 if that's the case. But it starts with that Golden State game. Anytime you lose the first game of that four-game pool play, you put yourself in a very difficult spot. So that's going to be a very interesting game in San Francisco that night.
Eric, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the tournament this week.
You too, Jeffrey.
That is Eric Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. When we come back, we get into the list. Had a couple of shakeups at ESPN. Also, some NFL news to get to and more. We do that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Let's go with Patrick Judon.
You just made the list!
Yes, the New England Patriots traded Matthew Judon to the Atlanta Falcons. The top edge rusher for the Patriots was traded for a 2025 third-round pick, the teams announced on Thursday. Judon had been practicing with the Patriots after a brief absence from the team. The Falcons and Judon have not hammered out a contract for the 25 season, but plan to work towards one before the start of the season, sources told ESPN's Dan Graziano. I think there's a couple of interesting things here, Steve, as we talk some Patriots. I think it's interesting from the Patriots' perspective to go ahead and just to decide to, all right, let's make the decision. We're selling here. And from the Falcons, they had a pretty bad pass rush for much of the year. It gives them some much-needed help. He is 32, so how many years left? Who's to say? But the Falcons are clearly trying to just be relevant this year. But this is kind of a weird moment in time where we spent so much time with the Patriots being so dominant for so long, where I think they're signaling, and honestly, rightfully so, I think they're signaling, hey, this is officially the full rebuild.
Right, and there are people who are still cringing that, you know, they didn't want to do it that way in New England with the fan base. But, you know, you mentioned his age, and okay, they're not going to be competitive this year. That's the expectation. Next year, you expect them to sort of, you know, start taking steps in the right direction. You know, we said before we went on the air, Jeffrey, of you got your quarterback, so you're going to be in a good spot, and you might even be a good spot with that third round pick from the Falcons next year to add, or you know, package that pick for something else, or to move up if there is a player. Remember, Bill Belichick was great in getting that first part of day two and round number two. And understanding what you could pay that guy if he had slipped to the second round. He was very good at moving into those first 1, 2, 3, 4 picks of the second round in the NFL draft. But Judon was not going to be a part of this team when they're competitive again.
Yes.
But as we know in the NFL, if they do it the right way, and the Patriots haven't had to do this, there's a whole new cast of characters now. Not this year, but next year, you're at least taking steps. And then the year after that, you should be back in the mix. And your quarterback should be, you know, we should be talking about him the way we've been talking about quarterbacks this week on the show.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think really probably the only person that's upset about this is Gerard Mayo. Because, but I mean, to me, oh boy, I hope Gerard's agent got like a fully guaranteed deal, because it just feels like he's going to be the guy that is going to be the bridge coach, if you will, between Belichick and whoever they're going to decide to try to win with again.
Right.
Because that roster is just going to be so bad. It's going to have nothing to do with his coaching acumen one way or the other. It's just the roster is going to be that bad.
MLB, NFL, NBA, you know, those coaches that get that first opportunity, some have success right of way. I mean, look, vote with the Cleveland Guardians. I know I'm making a baseball reference here. Those are becoming fewer and far between. And we know whatever sport it is nowadays, you don't have a long time.
No, it's why on a certain level with Ben Johnson as the coordinator of the Lions, you know, depending on the reports, it was his asking price too high, maybe. But even if it was too high, it did suggest that he was willing. Like, he didn't have a job that he's like, I for sure want that job. I do wonder, you know, there's only 32 of them, and I understand that you may not know if the next one's going to come, but I do kind of like the guys that wait and try to pick out the right situation. And to me, it's like, I get why Mayo took it, but it's like, God, I wonder what's going through his mind right now.
And if the Patriots do it the right way in the next 48 months, that could be the right situation.
Yeah, maybe in the end they're treating Mayo like the Lions treated Dan Campbell, because it didn't get off to a great start with Dan Campbell either, but they wanted to build a culture. They were trying to reset and, you know, show some steady progression. If this year's bad, maybe you're like a sneaky 9-8 team that misses the playoffs next year, but you show some signs of life, and then to your point, that third year, maybe you can really sneak up on people. It seems maybe that is kind of the route that they're going.
It's a couple of weeks ago now, but Judon, I mean, he went into a day of camp with an agenda.
Oh, yes, and absolutely.
He made himself heard. And at that point in time, it's sort of like, I mean, he put their feet to the fire, because he did it in front of, you know, at the time, teammates. And, you know, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? And, you know, we talked about Hard Knocks yesterday, and, you know, these NFL players have such an understanding of what it is for them individually, and that, you know, there's just, you know, one injury and you're done. And there's no loyalty from that organization. And we always, you know, automatically we want to think that Matthew Judon is the bad guy here.
No.
And the player's trying to get what they want. But it's not that way anymore. I mean, he's got to get it. Now, do they do it the right way every time? Not according to us a lot of the time, but he's got to figure out a way of, either you're going to pay me, you're going to send me somewhere else, and I should get paid. Now, what's going on with the Jets? Is that going to happen with Atlanta? Because there's no deal in place yet. Maybe it was a gentleman's agreement. But are you going to have another situation like that where, hey, we've got you in the fold, we think we have it over you now, you sign or you don't play?
Can you help me what's happening there? Because I've listened to Joe Douglas. I don't think Joe Douglas is like some idiot. And like, is it a situation where Reddick, like they oftentimes, here's how it happens for the listeners. You don't have a deal ironed out, but you kind of know what the number is. You've been talking with the agent. Here's what we're thinking, you know, and then you get kind of the thumbs up, like, yeah, that would probably be something we could work with. Is it a situation where Reddick was like, no, now I want more? Did that situation not happen? Because I'm just kind of grasping at straws, like, what the heck happened? Like, I don't think the Jets make that move unless they felt pretty confident that they had at least the framework of a deal.
And if we don't have all the details, but it's along the lines of, I would put it more on the individual and the player and the agent saying, okay, we're here now. We kind of had an agreement here, but we want to change things up. Where the organization is going to pretty much be steadfast of, this is what we agreed to. This is what we were comfortable with. We want to stick to it. I don't see the team being the one in that situation where they're saying, right, hey, you know, by the way, you're in the fold now. We're going to wait, or we're going to do this. And it also comes down, you mentioned Joe Douglas. He may be right now on the hook. And he might be looking at the unemployment line at the end of the regular season, or at the end of the NFL season. But boy, talk about egos. It's a staring match. They're just staring down each other right now, and it's who's going to blink. And Aaron Rodgers is involved, by the way, there in New York. So I expect it to be taken care of very soon because Aaron Rodgers is involved.
It is this kind of weird reality where I do think maybe 10, 15 years ago, when your guys held out, you kind of were like, what are you doing, man? Like, the season's right around the corner. Like, you got a contract. Like, we don't get to hold out every time we don't like our contract. Like, we have to go to work. We've now kind of flipped, and we understand, like, what they're doing. I think the problem, though, that we all kind of agree with is there needs to be some kind of better system. But I guess the problem is every time the NFL Players Association goes to the bargaining table, they get beat. Like, and I understand for a certain reason why they get beat. It's 53-man rosters, and most of the people that are on the rosters, most of the people that are voting, yeah, like, they're going to take the short-term benefit because they don't know if they're even going to be there for the next deal.
Right.
So, like, I understand, but like I always just think back to like I might have been two collective bargaining agreements where they went in with the offer of nearly 50% of total revenue. They walk out with less money, but they had fewer padded practices. And I'm like,
yeah, they got, yeah, yeah.
And I just remember thinking, I was like,
we got comped on the charter, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Like
it was, we didn't have to pay.
Yeah. It was, and maybe like they got like, you know, like they got some reduced, you know, hours of practice. I remember thinking like, oh my God, like that has to be, right. That has to just be like a lion watching a wounded gazelle in the Serengeti when the owners see the players come to the table.
Yeah, and that's why the baseball union has been so strong, because they have a respect for the past there of what players did prior. Maybe not so much present day, but in the last couple of decades they did. But even their last negotiation, it was played out in the media, and it's like, this is something that they're steadfast on. This is something they're not going to relent on. And it was like, really? This, I mean, you're this far down the road on these negotiations where this is something you're trying to hammer home and you've drawn the line. And it was odd. There were a couple of weird things.
I'm trying to remember. So that we had it was the COVID CBA.
Right.
And I was trying to remember, cause I remember thinking like,
service time was a big part of it. How much were they going to, get on back pay, different things like that. Those did become big issues.
Well, and then there's always like the belief that Boris is quietly running the Players Association, if you will, like whatnot. But like, I remember getting down to it. It's like baseball had a pretty nice little stretch of like postseason. It's like baseball was kind of getting back to being part of the public culture. And I just remember thinking, like, yep, that's what baseball does. Let's have a nice labor
dispute. That's what baseball does, too.
Let's have a labor dispute.
We can't have nice things. Yep, exactly. Yep. There's not enough negative here. Let's get back into, because, I mean, baseball people like me still think back of the canceled World Series.
I mean, I guess you can make the argument the home run race helped, but, like, I don't think it's ever really. I think if baseball could go back to 1993. They would do that. Like, I don't even feel like it's gotten anywhere remotely close when you consider interest. And baseball's demise is never as bad as, like, NBA people want to say. Like, you look at total revenue, it's still the second league. It's just,
right.
It's not a part of the zeitgeist, the talking space. But, I mean, it's still wildly popular.
Yeah, I recently went to just coffee with former ESPN host Jason Fitz, and what a terrific guy. And
he comes on the station on Mondays.
Yeah, speaks very highly of you, everyone at Brad and everybody. And it was the first time we actually sat down. I mean, we had seen each other and talked to each other in Bristol through the glass, you know, every once in a while. I never really, you know, I was just an update anchor. He was the host. I didn't want to infringe and distract or anything. But he talked about when he, you know, had conversations with ESPN Radio. It's like, look, there's certain things I don't know, and baseball's one of them. They're like, don't worry. We may not even talk about the World Series in October in baseball. Once in a while, if you can hit on, you know, if you can hit, you know, brush on the main topics. And, you know, that is, you know, it's not part of the everyday conversation with a majority of people. And I think what happened with the work stoppage in the 90s and everything, and you want to go back to 1993, we became more regionalized. But also saturated with the number of games. But, you know, we're interested in our team and our market and, yep. You know, not so much the other stuff, but, you know, the home run derby, the home run, you know, the chase for 61 and all that stuff, you find out years later how just watered down that actually was.
Yeah, it's watered down, but it's also like, I don't know, like, I kind of go back to the thought of, like, you know, Selig was perfectly happy to exploit that until all of a sudden, like, oh, it turns out everybody's juicing. It's like, oh, no, what? No way.
Right, yeah, yeah. And he's in the Hall of Fame. He's recognized as...
a little bit of other NFL news. Matt Milano is going to be lost for a long portion of the season. They're saying hopefully back in December with a torn bicep, which just sounds miserably painful. My Bills fans, my wife has adopted the Bills, and my morning host is a Buffalonian at heart, and so they've already decided the season's over with, so that's good for Bills fans. Also, Russell Wilson will get the start in the Steelers' next preseason games. That that quarterback controversy is low-key interesting to me because Fields, if you looked at Fields' numbers from last weekend, his numbers were pretty good. He had a couple of fumbles. I'm curious to see if, like, I always have the utmost faith in Tomlin. Like, you know.
Me too.
I've seen him collectively put teams that I don't think are that good and just, like, crawl into the playoffs. If Russ is exactly what I expect he is, which is probably never as good as the perception was, and he is cooked, this might be the year. Because I don't think the Bengals are backing up. I don't think the Ravens are backing up. Who knows with the Browns? But, I mean, this feels like if they can't even remotely figure this out, like, if they're going to be just juggling quarterbacks all year, this might be when the streak finally ends of 500 or better for the Steelers.
And I'll be disappointed with that. And, I mean, he's not a coach, and I love him. But he's not a coach who's going to want to answer those quarterback questions. I mean, he had to have signed off on it, but this isn't doing anyone any well. This does not serve anyone well.
Nah, but they take Pickett. Pickett isn't the guy. Like, I don't know. They keep coming back to it. I think this is year 17, or it might even be year 18. Like, I just wonder now, it's like, does it eventually just run its course? Like, if Bill Belichick can basically be shown the door, anyone can, right?
Right. And I would take him in a second. I mean, he you know, we know there'll be plenty of jobs opened up. And I'd take him in a second. He'll have his choice of landing spots.
I would think him and Vrabel are not going to wait very long. Let's go with ESPN.
You just made the list.
Yeah, according to Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, ESPN has fired Sunday NFL Countdown host Sam Ponder and analyst Robert Griffin III. Sources briefed on the moves told The Athletic on Thursday. The decisions were made for financial reasons as ESPN nears the conclusion of its fiscal year at the end of September, per a source briefed on the matter. Both Ponder and Griffin made more than seven figures. Each was informed of the decision Thursday morning, a source briefed on the decision said. Neither Griffin nor Ponder responded to The Athletic's request for comment, but Griffin referenced the move in a post on X. Ponder was entering the final season of a three-year deal worth more than $3 million. Sources briefed on her contracts said she only worked in the prestigious role of Sunday NFL Countdown and was basically off for the rest of the year. ESPN generally reserves these types of schedules for the Joe Bucks, Troy Aikmans, and Peyton Mannings of the world. NFL Live host Laura Rutledge and Get Up host Mike Greenberg are potential replacements for Ponder, according to Marchand. Griffin, who as recently as last year had been viewed as a rising star at ESPN, had 2 years remaining on his deal. He was considered strongly to be ESPN's number two college football game analyst with Sean McDonough last season. The job inevitably went to Greg McElroy. ESPN also declined to comment. So there's a few things that I want to discuss about this with you, Steve. Number one, I think if I'm someone at ESPN right now and I've only got one gig and I know that my gig is pretty well paid, I am going to every potential boss and ally at ESPN and begging to get on something else and trying to do as good a job as possible. Because to me, if indeed Marchand's reports are correct, if another gig's either going to Laura Rutledge or to Mike Greenberg, this continues the pattern that I keep seeing with ESPN, which is they're willing to pay a handful of people a lot of money, but they're going to have them do everything. I mean, they are absolute workhorses. And if I'm someone that's just kind of a specialist, I would not feel good about my future.
And even if you're in that one lane of the NFL or college football, it does make it difficult.
Yes.
The interesting word that's used here is fired.
Yep. I was
that
surprised.
Word was not used last year.
No.
Fired.
And, like, it wasn't even remotely softened.
No.
Now, there were some people that were, Twitter does what Twitter does, and especially in an election year where everyone's going to make everything political. There's a segment saying Ponder was fired because of her view on women exclusively in women's sports, and she went to Liberty, and she probably leans a little conservative. I just look at this very simply as she was paid a lot of money to work Sunday NFL Countdown, and to me, like, that leaves you very exposed if they're going to try to make a number at the end of the year.
100%. And like you said, of, you know, having that utility, having, you know, being able to go and do different things for them, for the network. And they've pushed people in different directions out of their comfort zone to go and go do something else. And to a certain degree, as you bring up the comments that she's made in the past and unapologetic for them, she had to see the writing on the wall to a certain degree.
I would think so.
Like something, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you mentioned the numbers. She has an agent.
Yes.
She has representation. So those people are also knocking on the doors to say, hey, what do we have for the upcoming year? But if there was something that happened, you know, even the agent saying, hey, you know, dial it back or whatever, we know, you know, we don't want to get in the crosshairs. Something, whether her eyes were open to it or not, something happened in the last couple of months where it was an indication of this is a real possibility. Whether she realized it or not, there was something that was done on campus in Bristol, Connecticut, where it was, we've got better options.
Yeah.
And we know what we can do here.
And
this was, I mean, for everyone else, this, again, fire today. Today was the day. So we touched on it afterwards, and, you know, there's Mike Greenberg's name for something else to go do. And it would probably be kind of a stopgap.
I would think.
Oh, okay, you're doing it for this year. We'll get you off it next year, and we'll figure it out. And you know, maybe someone else, you know, all of a sudden the analytics say, you know, this person grades well, so we're going to put them over there.
Bring back Berman. Bring back
Berman. I'd
rather
see.
I loved the return of what not the artist formerly known as the Blitz. Primetime. I've loved the bring it. Again, I realize, like, part of that is just my nostalgia, and that was the guy that, like, made me watch the NFL. Bring back Berman. Especially if it's a stopgap year. Let him struggle with the teleprompter. Like, just give me some feel goods. It's Sunday morning. Who cares? Give me Berman for the stopgap.
See, I'm at the opposite end because it's, you know, give somebody who's, I'm not saying he's not deserving,
but I guess
but that's nostalgia.
Let me phrase it. If the options are Laura or Greeny, they both have plenty on their plate.
Right.
If the opportunity is to give it to someone else, then I'm with you. But if it's like, if we're just giving Laura or Greeny their 58th job, because both of them just feels like never stop working. Like,
right.
Give me through a season. All right, Steve, going to let you go. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you.
That is Steve Lennox. When we come back, let's talk Grizzlies and more with Jason Smith right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you loving Hard Knocks right now?
Oh, you know what? I found myself saying Jeffrey was right. I even said on our show that there's a drop-off after episode one.
Yeah.
That said, because it is my team, I am still having a fantastic time. I've literally gone into my son's room 5 minutes before each of the first two episodes and said, "Are you ready?" And that, I mean, I don't do that with him because I know, number one, short attention span. He's 10. Guy doesn't sit anywhere from, you know, down for more than anywhere, but, you know, more than 5 minutes. He's up moving to the next thing. You know, it's that YouTube short life, Jeffrey. You know, that's how they roll. You know, they don't pay any attention. And then I told John the story, but I don't think I told, you know, episode one, I'd asked him, and I'm not trying to force him to be a Bears fan. God knows it's an awful existence in terms of suffering. It's been my whole life, save for 85. But I, you know, there's a part of me as a father that would love those moments with son if he's truly a Bear, like I had with my dad. So I haven't been forcing on him, but that first episode, I said, hey, man, you know, Hard Knocks coming on. There's five of these before the season, because he's more into Ja, Grizzlies, NBA. Said, you think you're going to watch it? He let me know on episode one, I will not watch the whole episode. He let me know that right up front. And yet, right there at the end of that thing, as the credits come on, I told John this. Yeah, he said, is that it? And
yeah.
That's where, you know, and I'm like, boom. Like, you know, it's more like almost like a Tiger Woods sort of fist. Like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is starting to hook. So Hard Knocks has perhaps helped me lure my son into, you know, a life of Bears fandom, in which his father's sort of been eagerly craving for a long time. But yes, Jeff, I'm enjoying it both from just the personal perspective, but also just because it's my team, and watching Roma Dunsey, you know, try to win over a locker room, knowing how good a dang pick he is, but also seeing, my gosh, this dude's mature. He's a leader. I mean, all of it's been good stuff to me. But back to the point, if I'm watching it from the outside looking in, I'm a fan of another team, could definitely see the drop off from episode 1 to 2, because I don't know about storylines, Jeffrey. You got some good ones at the top, but the depth is the issue.
Yeah. How old were you in 85?
I was 9 years old. I was born 76.
And Chris is 8, right?
Yeah, well, Chris is now 10 years old.
Oh, sorry, 10.
Now, yep, 10 years old. So he's a little older than me when I came in. Now, again, remember, I
don't want to say put the cart before the horse, but there could be like a little bit of, you know.
I was coming in at Super Bowl Shuffle, man. And so it was, you know, at a time where the Bears were on. So it was, you know, it kind of felt like back in the 80s, especially at that time when you had Fridge. You know, Dick is using Fridge to bust through the line for a touchdown. The Bears, in some ways, become, and I know this is blasphemy to some, but America's team. Like, everybody loved Peyton. I mean, the player he was. But once they added, you know, that 85 defense and Fridge, we were like, you know, and the punky QB, Jim McMahon, yeah, the guy they called the punk. I mean, we were, in some ways, America's team. And so it was very easy, because it wasn't just the fact that my dad had the Bears on. It was very easy because folks were talking about the Bears. Folks were talking about the Bears at school. And so it was very easy to fall in. Chris doesn't have that. That's sort of the difference. He's a little bit older than me, than I was when I came in. But he also doesn't have any sort of dominance. He only has his dad's sort of blind faith that things will get better. And so there's nothing really to go on for him. And so that's why it's, you know, his choice may end up being, you know what, let me wait on Caleb Williams to play a season, and then maybe, you know, maybe I come join you then, if I become an NFL fan at all. But I think at some point, Jeffrey, that NFL bug bites pretty much all of us. It'll get him at some point.
Yeah, and again, it's like, all right, we've seen 2 preseason games. I don't know, man. Like, the more – I think the 2 biggest winners to me, the guys that I've found myself having the most faith in watching, Ryan Poles comes across as exceptionally competent.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, all right, they're going to show – Caleb's going to try to be likable, and it's probably going to come across a little awkward and weird. Man, every time they show him, I'm like, that's kind of what you want your quarterback to do, man. Like, he seems to maybe have it more than, I guess, maybe some haters would like to admit. Like, I don't know. I feel like you get the roster guy, and if you have indeed hit on the quarterback, it's like, I don't know, man, buckle up. It could be kind of fun for, like, 10 to 15 years.
Man, I am hoping to – I was about to say hoping to God, but I am hoping that you are right, sir, that he is. And I do wonder whether it's – okay, well, he knows the cameras are on him. So he's doing a lot of great teammate stuff, a lot of that. And he was that way at the draft in terms of meeting Rome. I mean, he didn't come off as sort of the condescending guy that's been handed everything already. And, hey, kid, hey, me and you are going over, but we'll see, you know. I'm for sure going to be the guy we'll see on you. He acted like they were going in together as peers. And so you've sort of seen that attitude. You just wonder, but back to the, he knew the cameras were on him at the draft too. And so you wonder how much of this is him. I'd like to believe it truly is. And that, yes, maybe there's been some, you know, perceptions of this kid that are out there that are wrong. And I'll say too that, listen, maybe some of the story on Caleb has been right. And he has time. I mean, like he pointed out, he hadn't played football since November, at least meaningful football since last November. He's pointing that out about the first preseason game, but his point was he'd been sitting a long time and been sitting and had a lot of time to sort of take in the criticism, what folks have said. So I could spin it in a way that Caleb Williams has had time to sort of address what some of his shortcomings are, if indeed, whether it's from a leadership standpoint, whatever else, how he needs to come across. And let's be real, he's known for a while Hard Knocks is going to be on. My hope, Jeffrey, is that's the real Caleb Williams, because you like what you see so far in terms of trying to be the leader of a locker room and convince men that you're the guy for the job, but not do that in a way where you're pushing them away. Because I think you come in too arrogant. You come in Aaron Rodgers style,
sure,
in your rookie season, and you're missing out. You're missing the lesson. And so I haven't seen that. It looks good, and I'm excited, and it sounds like, again, I wasn't aware of this, but I heard last week from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN, they've put this preseason schedule together, the Bears having some control, particularly over the joint practice with Burrow and Cincinnati this week, where he gets to see Caleb Williams, the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, Josh Allen last week, Burrow this week, and we get Mahomes. And if it's just watching them or Josh Allen giving them a piece of advice like he did at the end of the preseason game, you know, this past weekend, just, you know, the Bears, I like that plan of having Caleb around greatness and letting him see how it operates. And if he can pull a few, you know, pick their brain and be smart enough to do so, then that's just a plus. But I loved hearing that that was in the Bears' plans in terms of that preseason schedule to try to get Caleb around the greatness, because that's all you can do. And then hope that he's the guy, you know, the kind of Patrick Mahomes that has that special, not just skills-wise, but that special sauce, that wanna-be great, that motivation. You hope it's there for Caleb Williams, and it's not just, you know, a guy that's right now is putting on for the cameras.
Yeah, and I don't know, I guess I my thing is, in my experience watching him, when he knows the cameras are on, normally when he knows the cameras on, he kind of it's almost like he was taking advice from like a PR firm. You need to do this. Uh-huh. Now when he knows the cameras are on, it feels more authentic.
I hope so.
The thing that like stood out to me, man, they didn't really show the game film, but it's like him in the pocket. It's different. Like, and again, I have no idea if this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer or not, but it's like, man, the makings are there. And I was thinking about this. You know what the most impressive throw I saw last episode was?
What's up?
Remember the play where Rome's trying to toe tap at the back of the end zone, and then the corner's like, you didn't get that second foot in?
Yep.
I had to go back and rewind. That throw was so insane, and I don't think we really understood the perspective of it because we were just seeing it from the end zone. It's like, man, that's kind of the difference. Like, if he can do things like that, some of the other stuff's just kind of stuff we talk about. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, this guy just might be, like, really freaking good.
There was that one, and I saw it, too. It stood out. I'm right with you. There was a throw in the game against the Bills where he got outside of the pocket.
Yes.
And he slung one sidearm to Komet on the run and just lasered in there, and everybody's saying, holy cow, how'd he make that throw? I'd go back to, though, because I've seen athletic plays, guys off platform. Lord knows we saw enough of that from Justin Fields, and it was flashes. And you wanted to convince yourself, oh, my gosh, if they could just add this to a quarterback who could, you know, throw from the pocket, maybe you've got something. But back to your point, that 3rd-and-12 throw that he had from the pocket to DJ was something that Justin could never do. Frankly, you know, it's something that Trubisky struggled with. And the Bears put together bad plans for both of those guys in terms of trying to help them do that. Bears decided, you know what, we're not, forget the fact that Trubisky's good athletically and on the roll. We're going to try to make him this pocket quarterback, and the plan was bad. You tried to make it all one thing rather than trying to find a balance for Trubisky. But the point is, hopefully the plan won't be as bad for Caleb, because I don't think you need to touch it that much, Jeffrey. I mean, there's a, you know, basically, you know, the only thing you're telling Caleb Williams, because of your point, he can make this spectacular or do it from the pocket, is keep it simple, right? Don't try to be Superman. I mean, I think that's pretty much going to be the conversation with him, because it looks like he can make every single throw. It's trying to keep him humble, you know, trying to make him understand that, my gosh, with these three number one receivers, essentially, with DeAndre Swift, maybe the fastest running back we've ever seen in the Bears backfield, who, oh, by the way, is great in the pass game, with all these weapons, man, all you need to do, quite frankly, stay upright, get it out of there, throw it 5 yards, let them do the work. And then, yes, find the big plays where you can. Don't go out there and try to be Joe Burrow, or more importantly, because this is the one everybody's going to compare him to, is the 4,100-yard C.J. Stroud last year.
Yeah.
And that is a concern, because it just happened. We just got the turnaround, and inevitably he's going to be compared to what Stroud did last year. So him trying to meet that, and whether or not he'll be willing to overdo it to do it, that's going to be a thing for the Bears. My whole thing for Caleb Williams, and it should be for the Bears, is keep it simple, brother. Let the weapons do the work.
I was going to ask you about the Grizzlies schedule. We're up against it. I'll let you talk about it tomorrow.
Hey, they're cutting us. Yeah, it's all Grizzlies. You got to go prove it. It's proven by the 18. What was it? Nationally televised game 2 years ago. You're down to 9, so you're back to that status. And don't look at it so defensively. This is what happens when you win 27 games.
Yes,
and you got work to do. Jennifer, keep it up, man. Keep up the good work.
Hey, man. Appreciate it, Jason. That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Going on over at TPC Southwind again. The FedEx St. Jude Championship happening right now. Chris Kirk continues to lead the way. He fires a 6-under 64. He leads by a shot over Taylor Pendrith and Matthew Pavon. Also some big notable names, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele at 3-under, Rory McIlroy 2-under, as is Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa. For today's Tell Your Story, we go to the Vestavia Hills head football coach when he was discussing his team going up against the Power 5 talent of Carver Montgomery. This guy's going to Alabama. This one's going to Florida. This one's going to Texas A&M. This one has 20 offers. And we got a bunch of pie caps and Fijis that are going to try to tackle him. I also like that he pointed out that his guys, his players would be rooting for the players that they're going to be going up against in a couple of years. So I thought that was a great line. My thanks to Vestavia Hills for that fantastic line. I want to thank Eric Hastein and Jason Smith for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Steve, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.